podcast has changed my life.
That is lovely to meet you.
Yes, nice to be met.
Come on, sit down, tuck in.
This is not funny!
Yeah. I think I used to work in a busy golf course, like retail,
yeah,
and there'd be a lot of people come in at once, and I would be like, chatting. I know, I think that's kind of crowd work. That's why I'm okay, crowd work. Yeah. Chatting to a lot of people. What's your name, mate? Yeah. What are you doing? What group are you in? What do you want, those shoes? You should talk to that guy. He's already got shoes on. Bang. I'm doing crowd work before I'm even doing comedy.
Yeah, and further to your retail job thing, like I've worked in a Westfield car park office, and there were days where, let's say, three boom gates break.
Oh.
For whatever reason, though.
Yeah, so people can't get in or they're stuck in.
Can't get in, can't get out. Oh. It's an issue. It's a big issue.
Yeah.
And we need those people in because they need to spend their money.
But you need them out so you can get more in.
Look at this guy. He gets the business model and everything.
And you walked away from this job?
Owned this company, clearly. Only the owner would have insight like this into the business.
I've got those dragons eating their own tail, like, tattooed on my back because of this. In and out. You know, it's all a balance. But, you know, some mornings, fingers are cold. Maybe you're hungover. Maybe, I don't know, you just didn't get out of bed with that. Other mornings, you're on. You're just in that zone.
Yes. Zone.
And I'm fixing boom gates at record pace. Everything's going.
Can I ask you maybe a few questions about car parks?
Yeah, sure. I've been out of the game a couple of years, but I'll do my best.
The one thing that comes to my mind is the new types of car park. So we've got the disabled, which I think... very kind of across the board, not okay to park in if you don't have a disabled sticker. There's big fines.
Oh, dude. At Westfield, you would be surprised how many people would just park in a disabled spot.
Really?
And I would go up to them because, like, it's... you would just see someone skip out of a disabled spot.
Skip!
And it's just skip. Like...
and it's with so, a skipping rope as well? Just like doing bam, 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 bam.
People are doing ribbon routines on the way into Woolies. Unbelievable.
That guy better have a fucking mental illness.
But, there's a bit of that. You think, this guy, is that a limp? What's he got going on, you know? But I tell you the worst thing. It is the most uncomfortable situation because you go, excuse me, have you got a sticker? Why are you parking there?
Yeah.
And then either the guy will just blow up at you and be like, I'm just getting one thing. That's what a lot of people would say.
Jeez.
And they're just such fuckwits. But then
maybe you should get another thing, some fucking respect.
Yeah.
If only you had given Billy that.
Do they sell Billy that at Aldi, there? Mate?
Yeah, God. But, dude, I tell you the worst answer that I used to get, where I would be like, excuse me, are you able to park there? It's a disabled spot. And sometimes my tone would give away that, you know, what I think of you and your abilities as a human.
Are you
pretty goddamn
able-bodied? Are you wearing a uniform?
Oh, yeah. I'm high-vised up.
Okay.
Running the streets.
So that kind of, that already feels like they feel like they're in trouble.
Yeah. Work boots, radio on, the whole deal. And they would say this. They'd say, how dare you ask me about my disability? That is none of your business.
Wow.
And then it's kind of like, fuck you, son of a bitch. Because you don't want to, and then it's on you. Ball's in your court now. Do you want to triple down and potentially abuse a disabled person?
Sure.
Unnecessarily?
Well, I mean, but it's not an inappropriate or... like, who are you to... I'm the guy who works here that checks this stuff. It's like... Isn't it just a matter of whether they have a sticker?
Yeah, that's the thing.
So and if they don't, but then they're like, oh, but come on, because I do have a...
No, but here's sort of the thing. You could tell who wasn't disabled because you go over and say, excuse me, do you have a sticker? And they'd immediately be furious.
Yeah, okay.
So they always knew they were lying. And there's a fair bit of... you know, 32-year-old freaking nan's broken her leg and is in the hospital for a couple of weeks and they've got their hands on that sticker.
Yeah, oh, that would be heaps. Like you borrow the car, so you got the sticker.
Yeah.
But did you ever have any situations of like being like, what the fuck are you doing? And then like he goes, oi, and then from the passenger seat,
comes.
You know, grandma pops out in a walker. Anything that obvious?
No, I don't think so. Nothing too bad.
So your disabled dar is very good because of this job.
My disabled.
Dar.
It's
like, you know, my radar for
Yeah, radar, sorry.
No, I would actually say...
I wasn't calling you dar.
Dar, Billy.
I would say, honestly, you two could tell me you're both disabled right now and I'd just go with it. I've been scared into submission.
It's a thing of compliance. Okay, what about the other types of car parking spots? Because we've got now the pram one.
Pram spots.
And then isn't there another one?
There's now a 5-minute drop-off.
Oh, no, but there's another time.
You got your click and collect?
Oh, that's a great one.
But Lincoln Collect is huge.
That's fine. That's a whole different type. But the pram, is that immoral to just park there?
Firstly, if you thought the disabled spots were bad, the pram spots are just bedlam.
Yeah.
You got like 18-year-old blokes jumping out of a pram spot and they just got the fingers up. They know, they know it's not a real thing.
It's not real. You're totally right.
And to be fair to them, everyone driving, they were the most recently babies, you know?
100%. They're, dude, I'm high-fiving them on the way in. I'm like, fuck these mums. Like, it's not a real thing. Like, and then, yeah, you got your click and collect. To be honest, I haven't seen anyone park in a click and collect. They were kind of newer when I was there.
Right.
But the thing with the click and collect is I'm Westfield, right?
Mm.
And I'm fucking, I'll calm it down on you with the force of that corporation.
Mm. Yeah.
But if you go in a Woolworths click and collect, now that's you versus Woolworths. Yeah, I wash my hands of that.
Totally. Yeah, totally.
Because I don't want to be jumping in on some Woolworths stuff. Yes. I'm dealing with this thing with Coles right
now.
Totally. Conflict of interest.
Yes.
Interesting.
So
hang on.
So, and are the Woolworths people coming out and enforcing anything?
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
So you're saying
it's kind of just
go. It's a free for all.
Yeah,
park in the click and collect
because there's never parking inspectors in there. Well, is there?
It's like never seen
gate.
Guy
the boom gate does the job at the end in terms
of
money.
So the thing with if it's a private car park, you can pretty much do whatever you want.
What do you mean?
Oh my god!
Like,
what are you doing in there?
Well, okay, so I'm
at the start of the podcast.
I'm a Westfield car park officer. I wasn't sworn
it's like
in.
Like international
the
waters or something.
Yeah, I don't have any real power.
I'm up three levels.
Yeah, so like, if you go in and just park across three disabled spots, I'll fucking have a word.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's probably about where we'll leave it. And
right.
From here, it's either I call the police.
Yes.
Which is,
have you ever done that?
But do they have jurisdiction within this private car
yes.
park? Well, I mean, it's a big business.
That's in Westfield. Movies. You know how the attacker often waits in a car park and then sneaks up on them? That's because they can't get arrested.
Dude,
there.
That's it. Yeah, you can shoot someone.
They're
there.
Immune.
It's fine. It's like international waters.
It's so diplomatic immunity.
A few levels, you're not on the ground. The police can't do anything in
it's technically the air, and it's not technically a building because it doesn't have windows.
Yeah.
Read the rules, asshole. You're being dragged away.
So what? You'd be like, oh, I'm calling the police.
Mm.
Like, but I wouldn't really feel comfortable to call the police.
Mm.
And so, and they'd always, people who do that shit, they're always in and out. They're like, oh, I'm just getting toilet paper. And it's like, oh, that's fine then. But what we would do is, because we could had all the cameras and we could control the boom gates.
Yes.
So we would watch their car on the cameras and then we'd just put the boom gate out of commission when they got there.
That's cool.
And
great.
Then, so they'd be hitting the help button, going, what's going on? Guess who the help button comes to
last?
Woo, this guy right here. So then I'd be in the office being like, hello, who is that? And then
I do a voice.
Because
what's your voice? Do the voice.
I say, hello, how can I help?
Well, you pretend to be a robot.
Yeah, because
you're
just
doing
like,
bits on him.
Because, well,
this is when he started comedy.
But also, it's freaking authority. You never hear a nervous robot.
Yeah.
Whereas, so you are nervous at the time.
Well, dude, I've just had a screaming match with a guy who could beat the shit out of me. Like, I'm 21 and I'm fucking
sometimes
ramped up.
You've got to pretend to be a robot.
And also,
hello, I am not scared of you. You are a little pussy ass bitch. But, fuck you.
But also, I've just been out there going, mate, what the fuck? Like, probably not swearing at him.
Mm.
But I'll go, mate, you shouldn't park here. Yeah. If I then get in there and go, hello, how can I help? He's going to be like, this son of a bitch. And he's going to know that the boom gate has been tampered with.
Meanwhile,
whereas the whole thing
if
is,
you do a robot voice,
now
you'll never
be
suspect.
Like, I can't beat the I can't beat a machine. Are
the
you kidding me?
People respect machines.
Because you've got to keep up the ruse that the boom gate is actually broken.
Yeah.
So then you just keep them there for like half an hour.
So what would you say that you'd be like, unfortunately, there is an error.
Yeah, just basically.
And over then, and over again?
And then you could just hang up on them. It's like a normal phone.
Yeah, totally.
So you just hang up on them. They call again. You can see the boom gate number comes up and you can see him on the cameras and I control the boom gates. I literally have all the freaking chess pieces.
So how long?
It's so good. Within the confines of people's jobs, the powers that they have, it's like that's all they have.
Look,
but then they'll use it to the extent
why,
that they can.
Wouldn't you get like, because he doesn't know where your office is.
Mm.
If you're just like, yes, it's me, motherfucker.
Yeah.
It's like you're going to have to give me
exactly.
a pretty
the call's
big
coming from inside the house.
If you want to get out of here. You know, it's like, what's he going to then get out of his car and come and find you and be... I mean, if he does that, it's a nightmare.
To fix the boom gate, I require evidence of remorse. An apology would go a long way.
Yeah. No, I'm telling you, it's better to just keep it
separate. How long would you how long would you let them sit there for?
Half an hour.
Usually about 25 minutes, half an hour.
That's crazy. Oh, they're backing out.
They try to reverse.
This is like extreme. This probably happened four or five times.
Totally.
Where like a freaking 23-year-old genuine, like, came out hop, skipping out of a disabled spot. And it's like, dude, I'm not having this.
Yes.
And then the thing was, they would reverse back, but... and go to other gates, and we would just shut
them. Yeah, but what about when there's like...
That's so fun!
That's crazy.
At this point...
That's the sound of a murder myth if you just can't get out of a car park. And it's one robot being like, nice try, get that.
It's actually the fucking... It's Saw. It's Saw.
Yeah.
And also, at this point, it's not just me versus this guy. I got all the lads in. We got some of the concierge girls in here, a couple of the security guards, the rest of the car park team.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a fucking fiesta. We're just shitting on this bloke.
That's...
It's great.
If he got so frustrated that it caused a car accident and then he became disabled, I feel like that would be the...
That's what we call a little bit of street justice, Tom.
Well, it's not technically the street. It's up from the street.
Yeah.
It's off street parking.
Private property justice.
I have another question. Mm. So, like, say a humble fella who hasn't done anything wrong but forgets his ticket, gets to the boom gate, hits the button, and then the robot's like... Hello, is the robot still there? Are you nice and be like...
If you haven't just wronged me in the previous 20 minutes, you get Billy Darcy.
Mm. Oh, so who's a lovely guy.
Mm. Hey, how can I help?
Yeah.
Do you feel the difference?
But are you still like, you know, unfortunately, it's going to be the fee of 8+ hours if you lose your ticket. $72, please tap your credit card.
So traditionally, if you lose your ticket and the boss isn't in the office, it's free. It's obviously free.
Of course.
Dude, what is this freaking...
God, you're an angel.
But I tell you what, one time a mate of mine recognized my voice when my boss was standing over my shoulder.
He just sits there thinking it's your podcast and he's like, oh, great. He's like, another episode.
He's like, great, they can get around me on this thing. So, and also I had spoken to my mate earlier that day. I saw him in the mall on my patrol, as it were. And anyway, so I go, hello, how can I help? And he's recognized my voice. And he goes, oh, Billy, you fucking mad rooter. Let me out, you son of a bitch. And I'm like, hello, sir, is there an issue?
Oh, no.
And my boss is over my shoulder. And he's like, Billy, just let me out like the other time. And I'm like,
the other time.
No.
Yeah. Keep it quiet.
And then
that's a great time to start doing the robot.
Who is this Billy character you described?
He sounds awesome and cool, but I do not know of him.
Yeah, but I got to say, I had to do my night for like $10.
Oh, 10's all right, though.
Yeah, I was like, sir, so it was supposed to be like 30. It wasn't like a very upmarket Westfield, but it was like you can charge them 10 if they're friendly. So I gave him the friendly rate, but...
Oh, my God. So hang on. Businesses have a friendly rate. I've never received that.
No, but like I've worked in things where it's like bring your friends around. You can give them a discount because that's a sale you wouldn't get otherwise.
Yeah. I never knew as like a teen. How old were you when you had this job? Like
I was 20s. About 20 to 22.
Okay, gotcha. Mm. I suppose that's a bit older than 23. I'm thinking. I'm thinking specifically when friends worked at Hoyt's when I was in high school.
Oh, yeah.
I never knew whether it was fun for them for you to go to the movies and say hello when they were at work because it felt to me a bit like awkward because it's like they're on the clock and I'm not. But then also it could be kind of fun for them to see someone. Yeah. I don't know. They might feel cool.
I think you've got to read the room.
Yeah?
Because sometimes you go in, and if you're seeing like a 10 p.m. film, because my mates worked at Hoyt's as well.
Yeah.
You go in there, we're having popcorn fights in Cinema 7. It's going nuts.
Totally. Oh, that's good.
But then the next week, if you come in like Friday, 6 p.m., and you want to have a popcorn fight.
No. Totally. Okay, so it's just a matter of busyness?
Yeah.
But then, I didn't know whether people would think that I was like laughing at them or something.
For working.
There's something about...
Everyone's got to work, Tom.
I know everyone's got to work, but there's something kind of like vulnerable about being at work. Because it's like...
Yeah.
For exactly what happened in your story.
Yeah, you're compromised.
You're not in control anymore. You have to do what the boss says. It's like an embarrassing state to be in.
Yeah. Do you know, I knew all day when he wasn't... When he was a comedian.
Mm. When he was just 9 a.m. through 11.
Yeah, he was just... Yeah, morning day.
Mm-mm.
He was doing a screenwriting course with my girlfriend at the time at RMIT.
Really?
Right. And he was like, he released one rap video. And I remember he goes, what do you reckon of this? And I was like, yeah. I was like, dude, the stand-up's going pretty well. Like,
really?
You
didn't encourage him?
Well, I just didn't. I mean, it's hard to see the path for an aspiring rapper.
Can I say, though, I, of all the professions, I reckon rapper is the talks the most shit about people who doubted them early on. Yeah, of all the types of jobs, you know, if anyone wants to be a rapper, I reckon tell them
you're going to be good.
You're going to be fantastic. Real estate agent.
I think, though.
Accountant, feel free to be honest.
I think it's justified with rap because I think attempting to become a white rapper in Australia is maybe like the most full on thing you could do.
Man, that was and he's out of Adelaide.
It's threading the eye of the needle. You know what I mean? One in a million.
And it's up there with stand up.
Yeah.
I hold no pride over what we do whatsoever.
No.
But if I said to you, hey, Sam, I've just grown up in suburban Adelaide. I'm 17 and I'm just started writing raps and here's a music video I'd like to show you.
Yeah. This is pretty much how it happened, by the way.
Yeah. You're not going in with high hopes. You're going in with a smirk.
I was like, well, mate, it's like all I know about Australian rap in itself is like it's not the echelon of the genre in itself. So it's like I didn't think it was going to be good. And it was fine, but I was still like, poor. I think he had just done like Comedy Zone and like was doing pretty well in stand-up.
Yeah.
Dude, I've seen his Raw set and it's good.
Mm.
He's hilarious. Yeah, and totally. I love All Day.
You're a big fan.
I don't know if that's coming across, but I do love him. And I think that's sick.
I almost got into a fight at one of his shows.
Really?
I went to one of his shows at the Metro with my friend Ben.
So just quickly, Sam, do you play the Metro? Or does All Day play the Metro?
There was a booking with COVID that got cancelled and stuff. Yeah. But, you know, look,
interesting, I think he brought you up. He was saying at some point, he was like, fuck the haters.
No, that's not
fuck
me.
Them.
I have seen him since a lot and we're on very good terms.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, we've shaken hands and he remembered my name. Of course he did.
Very good terms. You shook hands, a pleasantry that everyone kind of receives.
Yes.
At least pre-COVID. Yeah. And then he remembered your name.
No, this was like just before COVID. Saw him at Splendor. He goes, Sam, how's it going? I was like, Tom, good to see you. We chatted briefly.
Yeah.
There was no being like, you told me I wasn't going to make it. Now I'm playing main stage at Splendor.
I do feel like a lot of the people, comedians do this too. Most artists will have stories about a teacher who told them when they were young, you're going to amount to nothing. And I think that 90% of those stories are fake. I feel like they're made up. And maybe that's why he's being nice to you, because people invent the stories. They make them kind of, they heighten them.
Yes.
And it's always like, it seems so unjustified that the teacher would say that.
It'd be crazy. Like, that's bad teachers. Like,
you were 10? Yeah. So I remember you'd never be a rapper.
Yeah. I was 11 writing poems by myself at lunchtime. I remember a teacher came over and kicked my book in the mud and told me I was a piece of shit. It's like, what primary school is this dude?
If anything, I think it's the opposite. I think teachers need to dial it down.
Yeah.
There was too much of like, you could be anything you want. Totally. When I was growing up, I wish someone, like now I'm a stand-up comedian and it's like, I look to the future and I'm like, if someone had just said you should just be a builder, I would be living the dream right now. I'd be content. I would be building houses. It'd be fine. But instead I'm chasing this dream because people told me I could.
100%. And we definitely need a few more books in the mud, metaphorically.
Totally.
Because I remember lunchtime, every primary school, I'm out there playing soccer with 20 of my friends.
Mm.
And we're all future socceroos.
Of course.
And no one came over to say, hey, lads, just a quick one. We came last at the primary school tournament last year. So
I would have gone over and been like 20 friends. So that is incredible. You are actually going.
Yeah, you're going well.
This is in year four where like every single kid in the class is your friend except for like maybe two.
Dude, I remember in my under 13 cricket team, and this is like South Coast cricket, and we didn't win the comp either. But I remember looking around my day at training and being like, well, I know I'm going to play for Australia.
Yeah.
But I don't think these guys are. So why are they still doing it?
Dude, I was like, cricket was my dream.
Yeah, you're a big cricket guy.
Massive cricket guy. That's why comedy's fun, because like, I feel like it's no one's first dream.
That's so true.
These people, like in Australia, there was like one comedy show a year. People were like, when I was 7 living in Sydney, it was my dream to be a stand-up. Like, did you grow up in the forest with like weird parents getting you to fucking
it's
write
true.
Jokes?
People are making up their dreams. They're making up people that didn't believe their dreams. They had a ball. They were kicking a ball around like everybody else.
But exactly, dude. And like with cricket, I held on so long mentally compared to how I was going.
Mm. But cricket is also, you could get, I mean, you could be 24 and just get a weird call up out of the blue.
And you know what? There's always one exception to the rule that keeps you hanging
keeps
on.
Keeps you going, yes.
Like, I'm just about to give up, and they're like, some guy who's 32 just made his debut for Tasmania, and I'm like, this guy gets it.
Do you think of the sports, it's kind of one of the more easily flukable sports? Because there's a stop down between each ball, and so each one is kind of its own independent act.
No, I would say the complete opposite because of that. There's more chances for mistakes.
It's just too much time thinking. I think that's the problem with cricket, is that it's just all in your head.
It's like you get on a good run and just start swinging.
Well, you could in like 2020, theoretically. You just throw the bat at it hard for 2 years and all of a sudden you make it to the IPL, you know? Like, that's what I'm talking about.
We used to do, like, when we were playing, like, fourth and fifth grade, going nowhere. We're, like, 17, playing fifth grade still.
And you still believe in your heart of hearts that you are destined.
You're like, it'll be, I'll tell you, if I have a good 6 months, I'm getting close.
Well, we used to do, how many centuries in a row from here would you have to make?
Oh, I love that.
To get to play test cricket for Australia. And I can tell you the answer. From fourth grade to test cricket is 22 centuries in a row.
What, because someone did it?
No, they figured it out on a piece of paper.
No, it was just fucking raining one day, dude, and we had a piece of paper, yeah.
No, not one of your guys. I just thought there was one guy out there that did a run like that.
No, but hang on. So you're saying, I think that makes sense. You're in fourth grade. You show up on a Saturday. You get a century.
Probably in third grade.
Fluke.
Yeah.
Oh, the first one? Really? They're doing anything? First one, I feel like goes the under the radar.
Okay, first
second one.
One
my first God. One.
Now you're into third grade.
Third grade.
Two more.
Two
second
more.
Grade.
Second.
Two more. First grade. Yeah. You're probably looking at.
But this is then. Is this Sydney first grade? This is not grade cricket, is it?
This is grade cricket.
So now you're a grade cricket.
No, this is Sydney first grade cricket.
So now you could be on like Crick Info with like a Crick stats. Info. You could be online. Yeah.
So the next to get online, that's the biggest job.
No, but if you're in first grade, then you would have an average on there.
Yeah. Totally. And then the next is New South Wales second 11.
I reckon you're going to need more than 2 centuries.
No, you're going to need like probably 5.
It gets so hard though, because then there's first grade and then you've got to get in the top 11 New South Wales.
How's your bowling?
I don't bowl.
Dude, this is what...
You're going to need double...
I saw Shane Warne talking to this young kid the other day, and he said something, it's like, we always need leg spinners. And I was like, that's so true. It's like, if you just committed to leg spin, you'd probably get hit around forever, but there's only like 6 of them in the whole country. It's like, you could maybe make it all the way to the top.
Potentially. Potentially. The bar's too high.
You going down to the offices, the Cricket Australia offices? Guys, I've been practicing like fuck out.
And you haven't picked me. Come on.
We've only had like.
They're so good. You watch the TV.
In the history of Australian cricket, we've had like 3 or 4 good leg spinners, and one of them happened to be the greatest bowler that's ever lived.
Mm.
And then here comes Taunt, chucking up a few who gives a shit.
But I could be like one of those guys that get one test, like a Michael Beer. Type.
That's exciting.
Yeah, that's a good reference. I knew you'd like that one.
Oh, niche.
Well, speaking of leg spinners, you have a Stuart McGill story, don't you?
Are you being for real?
This is what I've heard. through channels that I know.
We're going to have to take this down. This is crazy.
I know, that would get you shot, you know, around Christmas time.
Yeah.
How to Make Gravy comes on. You're like, this guy's a bit of a fucking
ever
loser.
Ever since we found out Mother Teresa was an asshole, I feel like that blew it for me. I'm like, well, what's up?
Dude, there would be one other mother, like a, you know, competing with Mother Teresa.
Totally.
Just being like, that fucking
I'm much
bitch.
More kind.
I've done way more. She just kind of got a good PR agent.
I hold a candle and go up and down and up and down behind all the sick kids for double as long as she does. Bitch.
Do you reckon with, like, nuns, there's like, you know how there's like a comic? Someone who maybe everyone knows is one of the best stand-ups, but maybe doesn't have the mainstream recognition. Do you reckon there's like a nun's nun?
Yeah, of course. So you've got your mother Teresa's. To do like the Our Father or so, you know, the big kind of like the broad stuff, the hacky prayers, the hacky
psalms.
She's
still doing it in Latin.
She's doing kind of deep cuts. She's doing self-referential stuff.
Only Old
doing
Testament.
Doing characters. Like being said, she's being Jesus at the front. The people are like, that's a bit offensive. It's like, but if you're a real nun... You think that's funny?
I'm sure there's people in the Catholic Church. Like, the Pope would have to be palatable for everyone. He would have to be able to command the attention. But there would be people trying other stuff.
And I say, maybe this is how the pedophilia in the church began. Because people were trying to just subvert the Psalms and kind of go a bit more anti-comedy.
What's the craziest thing I could do?
I'm going to do, you know, when with comedy, people do broad acts and then some of the sillier acts, they kind of subvert that genre. Yes. Maybe they're trying to subvert the idea of being a priest, like a good guy, like someone who's kind.
So you think there's a priest
what's being sexually of loving
exactly.
kids?
Exactly. It's probably sexually abusing them.
Fucking them.
So you think someone's up for cardinal going, how do I stand out from the pack?
Precisely. And look, they were successful.
They did, yeah. I mean, but then it all became quite hack in the end because everyone else started doing it.
Like it always happens. Dude. Once Sam Campbell comes along, all of a sudden all the open micers are speaking in a voice. It's like that, but with pedophilia.
Have you...
I'm sorry, I didn't realise this podcast was so blue.
What? Yeah, I mean, it's not blue. You've got a good podcast. How's it all going? Because you're going to... If Rogan gets removed from Spotify, you're going with him, aren't you?
Massively.
You're off the platform.
You're taking a stand.
No, actually, I thought about talking about the Rogan thing on my podcast, and then I realized I never listened to any of the vaccine episodes. No. And then I realized I haven't listened to any except for the one with Bert Kreischer 3 months ago, which I listened to in full. It was 4.5 hours.
4.5 hours. It is long, isn't it?
It's weird, the audio ones, when you can hear he's not wearing a shirt. You know what I mean? It's like coming through the audio.
4.5 hours is like, I was watching the tennis the other night and went for 5 hours, 20 or whatever. It was like unbelievable. And I was like, how do they do that, like, for that long? Like, they must be the fittest guys alive. And then I was like, I don't think I'd do anything for 5.5 hours.
So you were watching the grand final of the Australian Open and you're thinking, fuck, this is like Rogan, but athletics.
I was like, this is as interesting and, like, exciting going long. As, like, a real good Rogan. Like, a good, it's a Grand Slam, so it's, like, got to be one of the better Rogan.
You know, one of the Rogans where they're, like, sipping whiskey, smoking weed.
Yeah.
Got the cigars.
Do you reckon tennis, they have, like, kind of the inside tennis guys, not the Federers, but, you know, the people who do it's a bit strange. Maybe curious, that's table tennis. They go small. Jeez. On a little table. It's like, those are the real.
I think that the tennis heads. The tennis. Tennis players, tennis player is just the number one guy in the world. It's like pretty objective.
You reckon, just because there's...
comedy's subjective. So you can be like, this guy's not mainstream successful, but he's great. Totally. You can't be like, this guy who just lost 10 games in a row. You can't be like, dude, the industry's ducking him. Yeah. Like,
totally.
It's not the same. It's the same with cricket. Like, I can't be like, I was ripped off. It's like, I was like mathematically not good enough.
Do you think that's why I was saying this to a friend recently? Someone was asking me why men like sport. And my answer was that there's defined rules. And I suppose it's an outlet for competitiveness, but within rules that everyone knows. And, you know, there's someone like an umpire that there that controls it. And it's kind of like gives you that simplicity. It's as, like, because you hope the world is like that, that it's kind of fair and there's rules that you know. Is that the appeal?
I don't know if I really want to go under the hood on this one. I don't know why I like it, but it's fine.
I might come out not liking it. Dude, it's just good, you know. It's just good. You know what? The numbers thing I think is good about sports. I agree that it's like, because it is just a thing where you can compare people.
There's an objectivity to it.
You don't have to think about it. It's like that person's better than that person. The numbers don't lie. Speaking of the thing about like holding out hope, in golf, a lot of guys, you know, they don't make it or whatever because you can play golf forever.
Oh, golf must be the worst. Once you
get
chase
to,
that.
But, dude, you could chase it. But once you get to 50, the Champions Tour kicks in, which is for the over 50s.
They have an over 50s
and
tournament.
And it is big money, huge money. And a lot of guys, they will go, they start angling for the Seniors Tour. Oh, they'll be 25 being like, I'm playing for the Seniors Tour. So they're going to spend the next 25 years trying to get good enough to make money on the Seniors Tour.
It's like the
tour.
Opposite of being a police officer. You know, they hold out to retire.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This is hold out to actually work the hardest you've ever worked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tough sell to the missus, I reckon. Babe, just 20 more years, I swear. I know.
And then I'm going to invest even more in it. I'm going to start practicing even more than I am now. Why is that the case? Presumably watching older people would be kind of less entertaining.
Well, no, but because a lot of the stars or the old guys that are huge, you know, like
they've built
Tiger will be on it in like 5 years' time, you know,
yeah,
God
but
willing.
Where but does the Joe Blow who never even made the tour?
Dude, a few of them do okay. Like they'll just be like club pros that were like pretty good but then had a family and couldn't afford to have a crack at it properly. Their kids grow up and then they're like, I'll just start playing some events. And then it's kind of they end up doing pretty well.
And they're hungry.
They're way hungrier. Way hungrier.
It's all about for you guys. Imagine just the average man getting a fucking crack in there.
That's what
just
it's all
give
about.
Him one crack.
Well, imagine you've been 25 years on the pro tour and then you're into the 50s, the championship tour. You're just fucking beaten down. You don't even know why you're still out here. And here comes Sam Taunton for his first ever pro event.
Fresh as a daisy.
Ready to go.
Dude, I played golf on the weekend. When I was growing up, Billy, I was quite good at golf.
Oh, mate, I know you're a gun, yeah.
I used to play stay golf, and just out of, like, the craziest odds, I was playing at Moore Park, there was, like, a group of, like, guys that I used to play state golf with.
Oh, my God.
And they're all tour pros now, so they were playing, like, Europe and America. Cool. But one of the guys, I used to play tennis with the guy, it was his Bucks party, they were getting married and they were playing golf, and they were in the group behind us, so I saw them on the putting green before we teed off, and they were like, Sam, how's it going? We had a chat, and they're like, are you still playing? And I'm like, oh, not really, but I play a little bit, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh, I'm sure you still flush it. And I'm like,
flush it? Oh, I didn't
and in
even
my
know
head,
that
I'm like,
that's some lingo.
In my head, I'm like, oh, yeah, you know me. But in my head, I'm like, I'm so bad compared to what I was. But then, so like, I'm on the first tee.
Didn't watch you.
No, they're there the whole day. And can I say, this has never happened before in my life. I lifted to another level.
Really?
It was like old days. It was it was blowing a gale. I'm like even par. I'm holing putts. I'm like just hitting the ball like a tour pro again.
Yes.
And I don't know how to channel that mental state, but it's the Champions Tour, the Seniors Tour could be in me. Like if I can... If I can turn it on one day like that, what's to stop me?
This started in another 20 years. This started as people kidding about cricket, and now it's look at him.
This is how he's going to sell this. This is how he's going to sell this to his girlfriend. So just, I ran into some blokes I know on the weekend. I just need 10 minutes of your time.
This is some Fight Club shit where the blokes were never there.
You don't understand. And they were watching. They saw me hit it, and they were like, thumbs up. They were like, I could tell they were like, he's still got. They were like, what if he stayed on our path? I could tell they were thinking that.
I tell you what I love.
How far away from
them. It's great that you went out there and you played so well in front of them.
Thanks, mate.
I love the sell early. You going, golf, barely know how to spell it anymore. Oh, yes. Meanwhile, exactly. As Taunce has walked off, he just thought, suckers.
I can still flush it.
I walked off and I was like, it's game time, Taunce. It's like, you have to try like you've never tried. I was like, pre-shot routine. I was like, going to a mental place. I was like, the only thing that matters in your life now, it's shot by shot. It's like, you have to lift.
Totally. And you didn't get to talk to them afterwards? You just saw...
I waved goodbye, but they were like...
That's like, yeah, I love that guy. You know, he shook my hand. He remembered my name. These guys love me. I think I saw a thumbs up. They were in the distance.
I could tell they were like, he's still got it. Waved. All I needed was them to think that I still had it. He's got a bit of it left.
Yes. It is depressing. I remember I was relatively good at basketball, nothing like you, but I had like I was best when we had this American coach. And when I was like maybe in year 10.
A Yank's voice on a basketball court, something very special.
He really
special.
Pushed us,
very
you know?
Special. I think a Yank voice hits the wooden floor more aggressively, bounces around more than an Australian voice.
It'll put something in you to make you play better. It feels like you're home when you hear a Yank voice on a basketball court.
Like Coach Carter when he's like, we're running suicides, gentlemen.
Yes.
I'm running some fucking suicides in my lounge room. Like, it hits harder.
Call me in, coach.
Yeah.
He refereed, and then 2 years later, when I was way worse, he ran into me at games, and then subsequently, I think he reffed me when I was like in my early 20s, like way worse. You could see the disappointment. I had the opposite situation, basically.
And so he wasn't.
He was happy to see me, and then when he was refereeing, and then saw how bad I'd become, like the goodbye was not as enthusiastic as the hello. Let's just say that.
Yeah, I actually had a very similar one to this where. My under-12 soccer coach, right?
It's just a walk down memory lane, this podcast.
This is... Oh God.
Under-12, though.
I do wish, like, if I ever have kids and I talk to them and they're playing social sport, I'll need to let them know whatever happens out there happens, it doesn't matter, but it will define you for the next 30 years of your life.
Yeah, well, anyway, it's basically the exact same story as Tom's, but basically my under-12 soccer coach... But he was the Div 1 soccer coach, so this is quite prestigious.
Yes.
And then he was not reffing, but just walking past at a game I played a couple of years ago. And I would say it was more embarrassing because, one, I was poor, but also I was in, like, Division 7, so everyone around me was poor as well. It was a real make-a-wish kid vibe, and it was just like... And we made eye contact, and we waved, but it was like...
A fall from grace, do you think?
I don't know where he thought I was going,
do you think you potentially had maybe were misguided in where you thought you were going? Because maybe the whole time he was like, this guy's never going to make it.
Mm.
And he saw you in there and he's like, that's where I thought he'd always end up.
Well, the eye contact was like startling. It wasn't like a told you eye contact. Mm. It was like a you're here eye contact.
There's just actually nothing worse than disappointment.
And disappointing people who truly do not matter 1% in your life. I disappoint my dad 3 times a week. I'll see him at dinner.
But disappointing that's inevitable.
Someone I met 7 years ago and I'm never going to see again, dude, that's brutal.
Well, it's those are the people that you can kind of hold up an illusion of yourself for, though. Your dad never knows that you're a flawed person and you're never going to, like... No one's dad thinks they're cool. You know what I mean? Like you've seen too much. They held you as you shat into a bag. That's crazy.
There was a boxing fight late last year, and these guys, a lot of boxers' dads are their like coaches, which I think is like the craziest like dynamic at all. And like he like he stopped the fight, the dad did, because his son was getting beaten up, but not that much. Like it was like he copped a few punches and then shut it down. And then the coach did, like the dad did an interview in the ring next to his son, and he was like, he's just not good enough. I always told him he didn't my train. God. He didn't listen to what I said. It's like, what do you expect if he's just not going to do it? And then the son's like, yeah, well, my dad's right. I love him. And it was like crazy. The craziest dynamic I could ever see.
I feel like men do kind of try to love through sport. This is now giving me a flashback to my 21st. My dad's speech was mainly about different sporting achievements I'd done. From like mainly between the ages of 11 and 14.
Yeah.
And a lot of my friends who'd never met my dad walked away with the impression, it was like, did your dad want you to be an athlete or something? It's like he's mentioning you doing well in the cross country in year six and then kind of forlornly looking into the middle distance. I feel like that's though maybe how he was just trying to express affection.
Well, I think being like a tennis dad, for example, would be unreal. They just travel the world and they sit in the great seats at the tennis tournaments and they just got to sit up front and watch the games.
You think that's why they coach their kids?
I mean, part of it, some of them do go psycho, but it's like the rewards are there for the dad to push the kid.
Yeah, but you don't. But here's the thing. You want to go psycho and make sure he wins.
Mm.
If you go psycho and he's like ranked 150th, now you're a shit dad and your kid's poor.
Exactly.
So now we got two zeros.
Exactly.
Yeah, two losses.
You need to get him into that like
but
top tier.
Like anything, it's risk reward, you know.
Mm.
And this goes to my point, which I think I've made before, but that I think a lot of now the athletes that are very good have parents who play the same sport. And
Tom
as a result,
about this on every podcast we do.
But basically it's going to be new races is my point, because every person who plays a sport now, well, at least maybe like 50%, I reckon, of like basketball players, of swimmers, their parents played the same sport. So like biologically, they're a bit better because they're kind of...
Yeah, but what do you mean by new races?
Well, so that's like generation number two.
Athletes.
Generation number three of like tennis, okay, for example, where most of the people playing tennis professionally have professional tennis parents. Then the generation
most,
number four...
Most seems like...
No, but in a few generations, it'll be most.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And a few generations after that, the people, like all of them will be, and they'll be a bit bigger and taller. They'll be like specifically almost designed through evolution to be tennis players.
You disagree?
I disagree on this theory. Right. Once I understood it, I thought you were going in on some skin color thing, to be honest, at the start.
But that's what races are. Races are just people reacting to their environment through evolution over time.
No doubt. But here's the thing. You get to your second generation.
Mm.
Yeah, that kid's number one.
Mm.
You get to third generation.
You reckon?
Now it's third generation. You better fucking win.
Yeah.
That's when, fuck you, dad. I'm becoming a stand-up
DJ.
Comic. Smoking weed.
Yeah.
Rainbow headbands. And then you don't even see him at Christmas. And then you start again.
Okay. No, maybe into a new type of DJ race.
I remember once bringing a lot of friends to a golf course I worked at, knowing the boss wouldn't be there and being like, don't worry, it's free, it's all on me.
Oh,
I get there,
no.
The boss is there. He's come in for some ridiculous reason.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you going with your mates? Yeah, make sure you all fix up. And I was like, had to go out to my friends and be like, all right, guys, it's going to be $50 each. I'm so like, everyone was devastated. Everyone's like 20.
Yeah.
$50 is huge.
Yeah,
everyone is like, you can see that, like, that was like beer money. They're like, so, and it was my fault. I suggested the game.
Yeah. You tried to flex.
It was a failed flex.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, high risk, high reward.
That's the
as
thing.
I think someone said earlier in this very podcast.
Yeah,
yes.
That's with the tennis
because
parents.
If all the boys play for free, you're not paying for those beers after, are you?
Yes.
Oh, I'm a hero. People
you're a hero.
Like, they're telling their friends, like, Taunton will look after you.
Dude, have you heard about Taunton at this golf club? He runs the place, dude.
He owns a golf course, dude.
Yeah. The variance in time is like, if there's infinite universes and all the different things that could have happened, like, happened, the difference between the one where the boss shows up and you're a little fucking boy, you're pathetic.
And I'm just going to be like,
And the one you're a hero. It almost makes you want to just kind of average it and just realize that everyone's just, you know, a normal
person. Do you think there's blokes in that group who your friendship with them never really recovered?
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it kind of helped the friend. Like, it kind of made us stronger. Like, I don't think they're looking back being like, God, those hard times brought us together.
It's like, how many centuries are you away from getting into the baggy green? And how many kind of failures are you away from your mates abandoning you? You know what I mean?
Was there whispers of Taunts knew we were going to have to pay?
Oh,
he's
my
on
God.
Some,
he's
on a backdoor commission.
I know.
Paper bags flying around the lunchroom.
No, they know I'm good. They know I'm good and hearted. They know I'm a good guy. That would be insane to... That's like, you know, when people bring their friends to their first stand-up gigs. You know, it's one of those like bringer shows and you've got to bring five people and it sucked. Mm. I'm not, there's no kickback for me. I'm doing it out of the goodness of my heart. But I do, will acknowledge the social currency in me providing a day for free, getting everyone a great deal is, you know, it's only going to benefit me in the long run. Mm-hmm. But also I paid the cost.
The ultimate price.
Yeah, the ultimate prize. Well, not, I didn't lose them. But maybe we're not in that. Like, we don't talk that much now.
Well, there it is.
Yeah.
How many mates from school do you still have?
I actually still have my, like, little 5-6 person group.
5-6? Not bad. Yeah.
You're still friends with them.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's about it. But then, like, I had all my cricket friends and all my soccer friends.
Mm.
And I remember when I was playing cricket, I was like the club captain. There's like five teams. And, you know, I'm a man about town. I bloody love playing cricket, love going out, and that's all you fucking do. So I was like in for everything.
Mm.
And I was like, man, I've got thousands of friends.
Mm.
Yeah. And then when I stopped playing, I was like, oh, I had four.
Yeah.
So there's definitely like that, like, and same with, you know, even when you're at school. There's definitely like that Contiki vibe of let's keep in touch.
I reckon if I
quit. We went to different schools.
If I quit if I quit comedy tomorrow.
Yeah.
No friends.
Dude, for sure. Comedy, it's just like anything. It's like you've got, what you do have is you have three real friends and like 75 people you get on with.
Mm. Yeah. Some more than others. But if you take away that core thing that brings you together as friends,
yeah,
could be hard to maintain the friendship.
100%. Dude, me and Cashman, if I stop comedy tomorrow, I will never, ever see you again. 100%.
I don't know. Jesus Christ.
But no, but
I'm going to make
me
sure.
Me and Cashman get on like a house on fire.
Sure.
But if it wasn't for this podcast, we're not getting a beer.
I haven't been lumped into that though, which is not bad.
Well, because I could see you probably in the cricket or something.
Yeah. That is true.
I could run into you. Yeah. Where would me and you run into each other?
Sometimes I get to the local chess club. I went to the cricket with him once.
Yeah, you came to the cricket. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
You're back in.
Yes.
A podcast has changed my life.
That is lovely to meet you.
Yes, nice to be met.
Come on, sit down,